tucking into a delicious Sunday dinner. Don't forget your liver, fava beans, and your Chianti. Jonathan Demme's masterpiece is a faithful adaptation of Thomas Harris's novel. Today, we deep dive Silence of the Lambs as chosen by you, the Jibber Jabber community. Jan Dorian, as always, how are we this evening?
Very, very, very tired. Thank you for asking.
It's been a long working day for you, has it, Squire?
I stayed up far too late last night and then up early this morning, and I didn't manage to get a nap before work, so I'm tired. Other than that, I'm firing on most cylinders.
Ah, well, you usually are good and full of the beans regardless. Fava beans, nonetheless.
You did it. You went there.
So before we get into the body of this podcast, as chosen by you, the Silence of the Lambs deep dive, I'd just like to thank everybody who showed up for us on the 24th there at the cinema takeover in Bathgate, the Neverending Story. It was much to our surprise that the place was actually, it was packed. Like, it wasn't a failure. We went in there like expecting four people to have shown up. We actually took our seats, and there was a point where we just fist bumped each other as we looked around to a full cinema there celebrating the Neverending Story as part of the Jibber Jabber community. Jordan, wasn't it just spectacular?
Oh, I brought a wee teary my.
What, when Artax died? Spoiler alert.
Oh, honestly, man. I was laughing internally at myself. I was like, what am I doing, man? It's like I've seen this 8 million times, but I think basically because it was in the cinema, I kind of felt like it was the first time I was seeing it again. So
it totally was first time in the cinema. I mean, we never had those opportunities, and there we are.
Yeah,
watching it in the cinema for the first time, and I got to watch it with my kids.
Yeah, man, I actually did get a wee bit emotional as soon as it came up at the start. Never in the story, I was like, oh fuck me, we've done this.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. The end of a wee journey, a wee venture that we tried so hard to push. And we actually, so, you know, it went well, it succeeded, and we will be hearing back very, very shortly on whether there will be a takeover part two, so stay tuned for that.
Come along to the Con Exchange in Edinburgh on the 6th and 7th of April for Edinburgh Comic Con. That's right, the meeting place for all things comic book, film and television. We have a world of guests from all of these media who will be more than happy to take photographs with you and sign things for you. But make sure you bring money. They lack money. As do we all. You're going to need to spend some too and buy some tickets, which you can get on Eventbrite. Just type in Edinburgh Comic Con 2019. The fine fellows, Kevin and Jay, from the Jibber Jabber podcast will also be attending. Also, I said that funny. Also be attending. If you see us, if you know us, we'll be very surprised. But please come and talk to us. You never know. We might say something funny. Heh. Once again, tickets are still on sale at eventbrite.com. There are also special tickets for you super fans out there, which give you early entry, so that it's a little quieter. And you won't need to wait in queues longer than King Kong's finger to buy some cool stuff. We will have hundreds of vendors and many, many more attractions for you fans out there. This is an event by the fans for the fans. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Don't bring animals, because they're dirty. Thank you, and we'll see you there.
So, moving on. We have recently rewatched Silence of the Lambs. As you'd expect, we obviously have seen it before. So I'm going to pass this over to you, Jordan. How was it watching it recently again?
I really, really enjoyed it. I've kind of been dipping in and out of the Hannibal TV series recently as well. That's really good, but it's fucking weird, like the whole Will Graham being off his nut. It's just kind of, it gets a bit heavy on the head sometimes. But it was good to go back to the, I was going to say the original, but it's not, is it? It is not the original. It's the first Anthony Hopkins outing as Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Is that right? There was a Silence of the Lambs before.
It was.
See, there's something I didn't actually know.
Oh, do you not? Oh, it was. It was.
I didn't know there was one before, Ant.
It was a film that was based on the book Red Dragon. No, obviously Red Dragon came out probably about 10, 12 years ago or something. Well, the film was called Manhunter, and it had William Peterson, the guy that's in CSI Las Vegas. He played Will Graham, and Hannibal Lecter was played by Brian Cox, of all people.
Brian Cox?
Aye, yep. To be honest, it's a pretty decent film. It's really worth a watch. It's a totally different kind of take on Hannibal Lecter as well. So Anthony Hopkins first blasted it. It was great to sit and watch it again. He's a creepy, snaky bastard.
He was.
I'll never get sick of hearing Ted Levine's voice. We're a great big fat woman.
Do you know, he's something else.
He really is. One thing that did make me smile, I think this is just because I'm really Scottish, right? Obviously at the start of the film, you've got your credits telling you, obviously, the main actors and actresses that are in the film. Well, this name came up and it just made me laugh. It's the woman that plays Starling's pal in it, you know, the black lassie.
Yes.
Do you know what her name is?
What?
This is only because we're Scottish, this is funny. Her name is Casey Lemons.
Big Casey Lemons. Casey Lemons.
This is my brother, Boxy Oranges. that really made me chuckle. What about yourself? What was your feeling on it?
It was good. I have to admit, when I was watching it, I was quite beat, actually. So I nodded off just a tiny wee bit, but not enough to miss anything that wasn't quite key to the plot. For me, it reminded me just how very smart the movie is. It's one of those movies that doesn't require a lot of broken windows and car chases. Mm-hmm. It's a very smart and eccentric kind of take on a crime thriller. One thing I've got to say about Hannibal Lecter, right, is when you talk about all the greatest serial killers on the big screen, his name tends to be left out. Do you not find that Hannibal Lecter isn't among the greatest killers, yet he really is?
Well, I think it's a different type of thing, though. Whenever you say, like, great kind of movie killers, everybody goes straight to Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees, mm-hmm. Freddy Krueger. They go for the kind of slasher sort of thing. But you forget that there's really cracking kind of intellectual bad guys like this as well. Like, another one that I put up there along with this would be Edward Norton in Primal Fear.
How good was that? Yeah, how good was that?
It's in a kind of similar vein to that. So
yes, that scene at the end, just where his face changes, and you're like, you bastard!
People might not have seen it.
Go and watch that, because one day we probably will deep dive that.
Yes, we will. Did you have a question for me? Or do you want me just to batter in with a few wee points that I've got?
Oh, I've got plenty of questions that we'll iron out, but I want you to kind of just unload your basket of "I took this away from the movie," and just let's see how it integrates into what we've got planned.
Right. Just a couple of things to start with. One thing that this film doesn't suffer from is that jet lag between the 80s and 90s. Now, a lot of films for the early 90s still felt really like they were in the 80s, even with regards to hairstyles and kind of camera work and all that. There's a lot, like Point Break, for example, I think has got that. I think Point Break still feels like an 80s film, even though it's solidly into the 90s. This doesn't suffer for that. It feels like it's moved on and it's trying to do something different. So I love that. Fuck was I going to say?
You lost your train of thought, have you?
Yes, my train of...
Did it get inside your head?
My train of thought has left the fucking track. I like the establishing shot of Clarice Starling, just out kind of running in the woods. Now, The reason I liked it was because you realise that once she actually gets out of the woods and back to the training compound, they've got all the stuff there that she could do that training with that she was doing in the woods, right? So all the equipment that she needs to do that is actually at the compound. But to me, it shows her to be a kind of breed apart for the rest of the trainees. Like, she kind of stands alone. She does her own thing. And that's probably why she gets chosen to do these extracurricular activities.
Yeah, but do you know another thing? Based on that exact scene you're talking about, for me, what I took from that, if you noticed, she's surrounded by a lot of men, mm-hmm. right? For me, it was like she was in a world which pretty much was the case, maybe back then. It's a male-driven profession, the FBI, especially at that point. So she's working, exactly like what you said there. She's working doubly hard to see her through not only just the FBI, but to show that she can hang with the guys.
Mm. I always find it kind of hard to decide whether they're kind of gawking at her and kind of objectifying her a bit, or if they've got disdain for her. It's never actually really made too clear. It is later on with the small town cops. They've just got nothing but disdain for the fact that there's a woman there telling them what to do. Go on now, absolutely. Go on now.
I think it's for your own interpretation, I suppose, maybe.
Aye. So it definitely, it does well with that, because it just shows you what her position is and how much she's actually fighting against the system to actually be where she is. It's cool.
Yeah, so it's almost like she wants her fallen dad to be proud of her, and that's kind of the poison in her veins pushing her forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you think, because here we are, right? In 1991, when this was released, the 31st of May, it was still another like 2 months before I was born. So it was obviously years and years later since when I actually saw this movie. You were around in that time, so can you remember, or what do you think, how well do you think this was received in 1991? Because the world's a different place now than it was back then.
Yeah.
And obviously if it was released today, it might not hold up as well based on where it is. So back then it obviously was received well based on it being an instant classic, but how well received do you think it was back then?
With regards to the public, or?
Well, in regards to the overall feeling of the movie.
Well,
obviously, a lot, like, movies come along since then, obviously nearly 30 years since that movie was released. So 27 years to be precise. So in that 27 years of time, based on that, what we're accustomed to now with those 30 years is far different from what they would have been when Hannibal was, not Hannibal, listen to me, yeah, that's a sequel, when Silence of the Lambs was released. So how at that point do you think that fared in the movies? Do you think it came along and raised the bar in regards to crime, crime dramas?
Well,
or do you think,
It absolutely swept the Oscars that year, so that has to count for something. Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Screenplay. So it was well received by the film world.
The critics.
I don't really, I mean, I was around, but I was only maybe 6 year old, so it wasn't really for me. So I've got vague memories of kind of walking in to possibly my big brother's room and him sitting watching it, and I do remember the bit where they're looking at the photos of the dead fat birds with the skin off them.
Aye.
the life challenged obese girls.
Oh yeah, you gotta watch how you say it now, eh? Life challenged. I identify as a fat dead one.
I do that's burned into my psyche somewhere. I do remember walking in and seeing those photographs when I was that age. I was like, So.
And it has come full circle because it was your big brother that this was his option and it voted to win.
Aye, thanks for actually keeping this week's sensible, Brian, unlike the absolute cretins that made me watch fucking Pokemon. Honestly, I'm never going to forgive any of you for that. That was horrendous.
Can you imagine that your brother put up Pokemon 2000 and everybody voted for that? Could you imagine? All that had to happen was someone that wanted to see you watch another Pokemon movie could have dived straight in there. And
I mean,
within the first five.
It'd be quite funny. Pokemon. It would be quite funny if it happens every now and again, but if it just started happening every time, I would just stop doing it, genuinely.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
You wouldn't.
I would stop doing the deep dives because it would just become a parody of itself, really.
I suppose.
So, no more Pokemon pish. Anyway, back to the film in hand. I'm not going to start talking about Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins yet. I'm going to talk about Scott Glenn, who played Jack Crawford, obviously Clarice Starling's boss. I found him decidedly uninteresting. There was almost no need for him to be there. His character's so much more fleshed out in the TV show, which obviously it's a TV show, it can flesh it out a bit. But I just found him really boring, and I've seen him in other stuff where he is good. But it was like he was phoning it in. It might have been the character, but that's just the feeling I got from it. One person who was brilliant was Anthony Held, who played Dr. Chilton. He was a magnificent prick. It really was.
Straight away when he's like, it's almost like he's trying to come on to Jodie Foster when he first meets her. He's like, what are you doing anything tonight? And just that face. That's a face you wouldn't tire of putting your arse in it.
Putting your arse in?
You know, a couple of slaps. Aye, to fart in his head.
Oh, all right, that makes more sense.
You just turned it into a gay joke.
Well, funnily enough, he's not the only person to try and come on to her in this film, eh? you've got that doctor later on. You know, the guy that I don't know. I can't remember if he's a doctor or if he's like an insect expert or something. But he's kind of staring at her like,
she got nice. She got nice wings. I wanna see them flutter, flutter like a butterfly.
And she's like, are you hitting on me, doctor? He's like, yes. So he came on here as well, and then Multiple Migs actually literally came on here. That was disgusting, man. He Spider-Man'd her right at the start of the film, remember? that was not a pleasant thing to watch. Like, just a guy just throwing his spunk at somebody's face. It's just not a nice thing to see.
It's quite disgusting.
That was an interesting wee scene, and it does actually look like jizz as well. It's just kind of hits her face, and it's just kind of dangling a wee bit. That was bogging. the Anthony Hopkins, obviously as Hannibal Lecter, was brilliant. I think I said at the start he was quite snaky, and he did act like a snake, just the kind of eyes that staring into your soul, just with that. He would even just stick his tongue out every now and again, just like that, and it was just really kind of serpenty. And
he also convinced his wee pal in the next cell along to kill himself by eating his own tongue.
as you do.
Mm-hmm. He's got the power of persuasion to a T.
that is very true.
Imagine him as a wingman.
But just see that
you will go home with my friend. You will
see that establishing shot where it's kind of her POV, and she kind of walks kind of in front of his cell, and he's just standing in the middle of the room. How do you stand creepy? But I don't know. But he managed it. He stood creepy.
It was fun. It was weird. But that's just his demeanour, isn't it? He's a creep. But then again, when you see him in the next movie, Hannibal, and he's kicking about that city that he ran away to, he doesn't stand all creepy, he blends in. So it must just Must just be a state of mind.
Hmm. It could be an intimidation tactic, I suppose.
Well, he's full of that shit, isn't he?
Aye. He can definitely get inside your head.
Well, speaking of getting inside your head, we live in a PC culture world now where everything's inside your fucking head, right? So on that basis, right, if that movie was to be released today, how do you think it would fare well in 2019?
I honestly can't think of anything in it that would be unacceptable now, to be honest.
Do you think that it would still be regarded as a classic in, say, 10 years' time if it was to be released in 2019? Or has the bar been raised?
Probably not. I mean, there's been a lot of films made since then that could probably... Like Primal Fear, obviously I mentioned that. These kind of films do kind of... They come around in cycles and we are starting to see them more and more. But this one was... Probably, I would say it was a groundbreaker for these type of things. One thing that actually always kind of bothered me a wee bit was the fact that the whole Hannibal the Cannibal thing, it's a bit cartoony. It's like naming your kid Hannibal, and then he just happens to end up being a cannibal. It's like
that was the first.
That doesn't really. It's kind of daft. That aspect of it is kind of daft.
That's whenever, you know, I remember one of my first instances where I had ever came across The Silence of the Lambs is probably the same for yourself, Jordan, when you were a kid. More so maybe me. But I used to go into my mum's bedroom and she'd have a wardrobe, and then that wardrobe would be tapes, cassette tapes
with
who don't live in Scotland, right, with Tabaf. So there would be cassette tapes, VHS, that were taped off the telly, which means recorded from the TV. It's now TiVo, Sky Plus, all that crap, before it was all the good stuff. And basically, I would go through them all, because I just wanted to watch and consume movies. It's always been a thing of mine. And I came across The Silence of the Lambs, and it was written, obviously handwritten, on the cassette tape, the VHS. And I remember saying to my mum, "What's The Silence of the Lambs? Because for all I know, it could have been a kid's cartoon." And she goes, "Oh, that's Hannibal the Cannibal." And I'm like, "The fucking what?" I'm like, "What's a cannibal?" Mum's like, "It's people that eat other people." I'm like, And I remember saying to myself, I will watch that at some point. And I never got round to it because I was quite young. But like I said, that's the first thing she said when she took that, when I asked her what The Silence of the Lambs was, and she said Hannibal the Cannibal. And it said all the way through the Hannibal series, like the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal the Cannibal.
I mean, it's memorable. There's no getting away from that. It's definitely memorable, Hannibal the Cannibal. But I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of daft. Not taking anything away from the film. it was just a wee... Just a wee gripe.
Yeah, that's kind of one of them that just doesn't. If you could take it away, I'd probably add a hint, an extra hint of seriousness to it. So we're both yawning here that time of the night, huh? In 2019, the year, the fucking, we're in the decade of the reboots where it's easier and more cost effective to reboot a movie or to remake a movie than to come up with an original idea. So with that said, it's only a matter of time before they decide to re-fucking boot the Hannibal movies, which they did kind of when they done Hannibal Rising, which I thought was alright, by the way.
I don't think I finished that. I think I got bored shitless.
It was alright. I watched it years ago. But upon them making a Hannibal reboot series, right, I pose a question to you, I'll ask you, and then you give me your answers, and then I'll either agree with you or tell you who I think would be a better, but who, just even in the Jodie Foster and the Anthony Hopkins roles, who do you think would play a good Hannibal, and who do you think would play a good Clarice?
Hannibal. Michael Shannon.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Michael Shannon,
Yeah, I don't know why it just came to me. I think Michael Shannon would be a good choice for it. We've seen him doing the kind of dead-eyed killer thing already. But I think he could pull that off. Jodie Foster's character Clarice, who could play her now? Melissa McCarthy.
Don't. Fuck up. I was about to say, don't say somebody like Emma Stone.
No. I wouldn't say Emma Stone. I'm trying to kind of rack my brains and think here. Who could do it?
Anne Hathaway?
No. Do you know what? They'd probably, this is just, I'm just saying this, they'd probably change it so that she's black.
They would, actually.
No, I'm not even saying it to be cheeky. They probably would. They'd have somebody like Lupita Nyong'o or something playing her. It'd need to be somebody that's kind of young and kind of believable in that type of role, which she definitely could be. She's a good wee actress. A good wee actress. Oh, sorry, was that a bit hedonistic of me?
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. I've got editing to do as it is.
Nah, you can leave that in. I don't think I've said anything particularly dodgy there. So,
no, absolutely not. But, of course not.
So that, yeah, I would say that could be a kind of decent choice. Is there anybody else I could think could play?
Do you know who I think would play a really good Hannibal Lecter?
Who?
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow. He's too old.
He can be old.
It's Hannibal Lecter, I think, from what we've seen, he looks to be about 50 odds. I think John Lithgow is about 946.
Shut up, cunt. There you go. Michael C. Hall would play a good Hannibal Lecter.
Nah, see, you're just kind of treading water there. You're just picking things where people have already played serial killers.
I suppose you're right there.
See,
right.
I did as well, though, because I said Michael Shannon, but he's only done it the once.
Twice.
The Iceman. But that was more of a, like, I wouldn't really describe the Iceman as a serial killer. He was a multiple killer, but he was doing hits for the mob. I don't really see that as being a serial killer. I think that's just he's an assassin. There's a difference there. Yes. But no, Michael Shannon, I think could be a good call for it. But they'd probably get Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know. I've never liked Joaquin Phoenix really.
I liked him in Gladiator.
He
played Johnny Cash really, really well.
Mhm. Mhm. Kind of disagree with that.
Yeah. So I'm going to pose a question to the Jibber Jabber community. If you're listening to this, which I know you are because I see the stats, go ahead on the Jibber Jabber community or on YouTube, Podomatic, Spotify. I don't think you can comment on Spotify, but let it be known to us. Comment and tell us who you think would play a good Clarice and who would play a good Hannibal Lecter, because we want to know your picks. And if your picks are really good, maybe we'll give you a prize. Maybe we won't, yeah, but maybe we will.
Let's start with a shout out.
We'll give you a shout out.
We'll give you a
episode,
shout out.
Yeah. Which will be the Jibber Jabber podcast episode. We know the previous one just dropped today as we film this, as we speak. So it's going to be great. You're going to have two episodes to listen to this week. And we are working on trying to get more of a scheduled time up for these episodes. And thanks, guys, for listening, because everybody keeps messaging me, talking about different aspects of this podcast. And it's really good to see people getting involved and really starting to take shape with this show, because that's exactly why we try to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So big thanks to you guys.
Who do you think could play Buffalo Bill now?
Buffalo Bill now? It'll be there. Hold on, give me a second. Let me rack my brain of 2019 actors. Buffalo Bill. Vladimir Furdyk.
I mean, he's alright at the Night King thing, but He doesn't speak very good England, no.
Mate, we'll probably interview him again. Pack it in.
That's all right. That's fine. No,
he'll not understand it anyway.
He's funny.
Stop it. Like, he's a good guy. Just for the record, Vladimir Furdyk, aka the Night King of Game of Thrones, who we interviewed, you can check out on YouTube/JibberJabberPodcast. Make sure you go check it out. It's our highest rated video, highest watched video. Definitely go check it out. Fantastic guy, right? Really nice person. Had a lot of time for us. We have a lot of time for him. We are Team Vladimir Furdyk. Fucking banger of a guy.
Banger of a guy. That could mean two things. But so you're an absolute banger. What?
You're a fucking banger, mate. This guy's a banger. Certified banger. I've got the badge. Certified banger. Mate, that's a t-shirt. It's like, you know how you get those "Hello, my name is"? It's just like a white t-shirt with like a wee badge saying "Certified banger." Banger of a guy. See, I can't wait till people actually start buying our shit. Right? Because the amount of t-shirt ideas I've got, just need people to sell them to. Shout out to anybody that wants to buy a Jibber Jabber t-shirt. Like, we can get them put into production at any point. We just don't see the point because we get all this shit for free. But if anybody fancies a Jibber Jabber t-shirt with any of the designs you've heard me say, God, that's a t-shirt, right? Give me a shout. Or there are designs that we currently have in production. Not in production. They're waiting to go into production at some point. But you want to have a look at them and you're interested in buying one, I can get you some for like £12. So let me know if you love us that much. If not, then I hope your week's so successful and I don't hope you fall on a spike. Don't go falling on a spike.
So, stay away from the pamphlets.
Oh, yeah. That's if you don't subscribe.
So can we think of a good Buffalo Bill? Like, genuinely. Genuine, as you would say, genuine.
Genuine. A Buffalo Bill in today's society. It needs to be one of those actors that always plays a fucked up guy, huh?
Or you could go the other way and it could be a different type of role.
Chris Hemsworth.
So
it's not going to be Chris Hemsworth.
Nah, he's too pretty.
What about Mark Ruffalo? He's on the... He could be pretty if he's done up.
Ruffalo Bill.
Ruffalo Bill. What do you think? Is it Ruffalo or Ruffalo?
I think it's Ruffalo or Ruffalo. I'm not sure.
Ruffalo.
It's like Bassinger. It's up in the air. It's nice when they've got a simple name like Depp.
Do you know who'd be a really good Buffalo Bill? Christopher fucking Lambert. Christopher Lambert.
He's way too old. You need to stay within the demographic here, son. Hang on a minute.
You're looking at your DVD collection. That's exactly what I was doing.
A wee quick squiz to see if there's anybody there that I think could do it.
What about Ewan McGregor?
Nah.
No?
I don't know why I think no, but no. They could... Russell Crowe.
All right, my picks are too old.
Yeah, that was... I'm struggling here, actually. I can't think of somebody else that could do it as good as Ted Levine, because he's just totally... That's him. That's his character. I couldn't imagine anybody else doing it. Like, you could say the same with Hannibal Lecter, but there's been fucking at least three people done it now, so... Four people have done it now.
And a shocking twist, you could get Mads Mikkelsen.
Ooh.
How cool would that be, yeah?
But did you know that Ted Levine, obviously, trademark voice, can't talk like that. He was the voice of the truck driver in Roadkill.
Candy cane.
You like pink champagne candy cane. It rubs the lotion on its skin. Aye. Yeah, he's totally unforgettable as Buffalo Bill. He's creepy, but you could see how he could be charming as well, and that's what made him kind of. That's what made him scary, because it just looks like your kind of friendly neighborhood guy that maybe works at the petrol station
and needs a hand with a couch into a van.
Wonder if you give me a hand.
But you want to just get in that van.
And I tell you what, though, that was a really clever way of doing it. Eh? Like when I watched that, smart. I was like, that was really clever. That wee move to get her into the van. That was pretty notes. Sweet. Amy Schumer would play that girl now.
You're right. So we'll move on to our trivia section, where we just talk about absolute random trivia from this movie and surrounding. I'll kick off some trivia with this, right? Did you know that... Well, you do know that Jodie Foster never returned to the role in the next movie, Hannibal?
Yes.
Are you aware why?
No, actually, I don't know.
Let me tell you. Here we go. Because, you'll see, Jodie Foster didn't believe the script was right. She said in her interview that there was not enough of her character in the script for the second movie. Thus far would like to be a director of the second movie, gaining a director credit and also a director paycheck, thus writing more of her character into the script of the second movie. And when she was declined, she thus far declined to play the role.
Okay.
I had to say it like that.
What,
I just felt
what
like
was
it.
That voice, man?
It was my pompous voice. to illustrate the fact that she thought she was obviously too good for the movie, you know. She thought, oh, I need to be a director, seeing as I was in the first one. And also, I need to have my character more in this movie. Do you understand what I'm saying? We forget, Missy, that it's called Hannibal Lecter. It's not about you, motherfucker. So, good riddance, whatever, mate. See if you didn't want to see that. That's just bullshit. So she goes and ruins it by having the actor change. So that her character now looks a wee bit different. I mean, fair enough. Julianne Moore, eh?
Julianne,
fuck's sake, mate. Julianne Moore. She does kind of fit the profile and done a great job in Hannibal. But stop fucking changing actors. And see, when you're an actor and you play such a role like what she did in the first one with Clarice, go and just dinna be a ball bag and let us have the consistency within the movies. It fucking annoys me when they change actors, man. And see, because it's something so simple and so stupid like that.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. It really annoys me. What are you laughing at?
Nah, just you. You having a rant for a wee change. Normally the rant is reserved for this guy.
Yeah, just because so many great movies have had to change. Like, have you ever seen the first... Right, I say great. We're doing that whole Pokemon thing again where I talk about... It was great because it was nostalgic. And then you go and watch it and you're like, holy shit, that was bad. But yeah, it's still good. The first Mortal Kombat. Like, the scene ends with them all in one position. And then when the second movie kicks off, half the actors have all changed. It's like, no.
See, normally you find when actors don't come back for the second one, it's because it's really subpar. Hannibal was nowhere near as good a film as Silence of the Lambs, but it's still a really good film. I did enjoy Hannibal, but we're not here to talk about Hannibal. Give me some more trivia.
Right. So, did you know that throughout the movie, I was about to call her Julianne Moore. I should have Julianne Moore. Jodie Foster actually didn't speak to Anthony Hopkins at all, bar what she said on filming. So at no point during the filming did she speak to him, other than the movie lines that they had to, the dialogue.
That makes sense, actually.
you think?
Ah, it does, because it means that any interaction that she has with him was, she was maybe more likely to get a kind of genuine reaction to him.
You think?
Yeah.
She actually credited it to her being frightened of him.
Well,
that he was that good as Hannibal Lecter that she was actually frightened of him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, if maybe if she did go and speak to him more, she wouldn't have been scared of him anymore, and then you wouldn't get the same performance out of her.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just reading a wee bit of trivia here. It says, the production received full cooperation from the FBI as they saw it as a potential recruiting tool to hire more female agents. 1991 people. They were trying to hire more female agents. So see all this shite you're trying to pull the now? It's been done. It's been fucking done. Stop whining about it. End of rant.
It's no secret that when actors take on movie roles out with their comfort zone, or, you know, a very credible movie role, such as a serial killer, they tend to do their legwork beforehand, and that's exactly what Anthony Hopkins done in this movie. In preparation for the role, Sir Anthony Hopkins studied files of serial killers. Also, he visited prisons and studied convicted murderers and was present during some court hearings concerning gruesome murders and serial killings. Motherfucker.
It's quite a dark world to get into, isn't it?
Absolutely. I hear some people can get right wrapped up in their role that they can never return. They play that much of a method character that it becomes part of their fabric after the movie's done.
Mm-hmm. One thing actually I'm going to say is, people might have noticed that if we just, whenever we do a deep dive or we talk about films, we never address the fact that a lot of films are based on books. We never really talk about that. And the reason is, we like films. We like films. So, I've only read one book that, like, I seen the film and then I read the book, and it was The Exorcist. And the book was exceptional, right? So what that done was stop me from reading books of films, because I don't want them ruined. Because It's the age old thing that the film's never as good as a book, or it's an extreme.
That's true.
It's an extremely rare thing. So, I don't want to ruin the art that I like by getting all intellectual in that.
It's true though.
It's not that we don't know that these things are based on books. Obviously, this one is. It's not that we don't know it. We just choose not to talk about it because it's not really our thing. I'm sure there will
it's
be exceptions. I was going to say, I'm sure there will be exceptions to that. Kevin's probably going to jump into a few. Just for me personally, nah. I'll stick with the films.
I find sometimes if a film's really that good, if you leave a movie and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I wish there was more of that, then absolutely go and check the book out, because one thing that a book offers that the movie doesn't is the viewpoint and the what's going on in the mind of the character. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't always get that from the movie, but at least you'll always get that from a book.
Yeah.
And definitely check out the books. If we do a deep dive on a movie that I have read the book, then by all means I'll compare it within the deep dive. But otherwise, yeah, I do agree with you. We are a podcast on movies and all things pop culture and TV shows, so we're here to celebrate what's been made from the movie and not be like, but it was nowhere near as good as a book, even though that's probably true. Finishing on the trivia section, ties in with what we're talking about, the book. The author of the book, the guy Thomas Harris,
mm-hmm.
sent over all the Oscar winners, sent them over a case of wine.
Excellent.
Which is, I mean, that's a big seal of approval, isn't it?
Oh, aye. Absolutely. I mean, how often do you hear about the guy that came up with the source material not enjoying what somebody else has done with it? It happens all the time.
Wolfgang Peterson and Michael End.
I think it's pronounced Ende, by the way.
Is it Ende? I suppose it would be if it was German. Ende.
I think it is Ende. but it's happened with so many things, which I will rattle off right now. Pre-recorded segment insert here. Nah, I don't know. It's quite a common thing that people they'll disown. They will completely disown a film if they don't like the way they've done it. It's just part of the joys of being a novelist, I suppose, is sometimes people are going to want to do their own thing with your work, and sometimes you're not going to like it.
Most of the times. Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. So, we're at that closing age of our... Age, mate! For fuck's sake! We're at the closing part of our show here today with our, as always, final three questions. So, Jan Dorian, last of all known mankind Explorians, I'm going to have to ask you for your memorable scene.
Memorable scene. I'm probably going to go a wee bit against the grain here, but it's the bit where the kidnapped girl, what's her name? Is it Christine? I can't remember.
She's a bitch, by the way.
Let me do my bit.
No, I did. That's why I said my statement and then stopped.
Well, it was the bit where she was down the well, and he's trying to get her to put the lotion on and shit, and then she notices the bloody fingernail marks up the side of the well, and it's like just for that moment I could feel what she was feeling. It's like, fuck, I'm no the first one, I'm dead. I'm fucking dead. And that bit, just the music built up to such a great kind of crescendo at that bit as well, and it just you feel everything that she feels, and I thought that was a really well put together wee bit of shooting.
You're correct.
Yes,
she's a cow still. Do you not think she's a cow?
In what way?
Well, Jodie Foster breaks in to save her and is like, here, I'm just having to deal with this serial killer that's probably going to try and jump out and kill me. The now, wait there, chill out, shut the fuck up, because you're giving me away that I'm here, right? Shut the fuck up for a minute. And what's the lassie saying to her? Get me out of here, you bitch! Do you know what I said to my wife when that part was on? I'd fucking leave the cow down there. Fucking call me a bitch. Call me a bitch. I'm fucking here to help you, you cow. Get yourself the fuck.
You'd stand at the top of the well and just go, Bill. I was going to let her out, but fuck it. Get her murdered.
Fuck, we need to take a piss. My most memorable scene about that movie was the part where the corpse is in the ambulance and they're like, he's had his face mashed to fuck. But then he sits up and he's no had his face mashed to fuck. It's actually somebody else's face on his face. Aye. And he peels off the face. Oh, you fucker, mate.
That was a real kind of horror movie bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously,
I think even for that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That time, I reckon it was one of those, you'll need to see this, by the way, the guy's face gets ripped off. Because that was the whispers, the chanters when we were kids. It would always be, you need to see that movie because this happens in it. That one memorable scene, eh?
Aye.
And I think that for me, if we were allowed to watch that as a kid, that probably would have been the scene for me, yeah?
Absolutely.
Your most memorable quote, Jan Dorian?
Memorable quote. Put the fucking lotion in the basket!
Is that your submission?
Yeah, that's my submission. Anything that he says is funny. He's like, wait, was she a great big fat person?
There's a...
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Well, Clarice, have the lamb stopped screaming?
Aye. But I think this was less a deep dive. This was more like a shallow dip. I think there's been a lot of stuff that we've neglected to talk about, I think. But,
well, bring it the fuck up.
No. Well,
close yours.
It was the scene you were talking about where he rips the cop's face off. The scenes leading up to that, like where he's in that room in the cage, it's kind of like a caged lion or something. You know, it felt quite old fashioned, like he was a freak show or something. That's what.
Yeah,
the kind of vibe you get from it, And then it's just, see the bit where he grabs the guy's face and just fucking whores in about it. Just like, it's minging. It's minging. It's just, you're just sitting there going, oh, damn. That's not the best situation.
Yep. Agreed.
So, aye, that, and then the way he displayed the body, they bring a lot of that back, obviously, in the TV show about bodies getting posed and displayed. And displayed with the guts hanging out, and that was quite an image. Like,
it's like a trophy.
Aye, that's, I don't know if it's just like a "here I am, this is what I do" sort of thing. A trophy is something they would take away, but like Clary said, he doesn't keep trophies; he eats them.
He ingests them.
And I liked the way it developed. Just from like the fact that they kind of tricked Clarice into going in there under false pretenses, and then she worked it out, and they were like, "Well, if we told you, then Lecter would know." I was like, "That was a cool wee bit." It's like, if we told you why you were actually going in there, he would smell it off you.
Yeah, it just plays to the strength of the mental capability that guy has of getting inside your head and fucking with you.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Yeah, definitely. It built the character, I suppose, really.
Mm-hmm. I like that there was also quite a lot of kind of almost directly looking at the camera in this film.
Like, breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, but almost breaking it. Just being that fraction off it, so that, like, Hannibal Lecter's looking, is obviously supposed to be looking Clarice Starling dead in the eye when he's talking away. And you feel like he's looking at you, but it's kind of just off to the side, so he's not looking straight into the camera. I think looking into the camera can sometimes just come across as dead cheesy. So just that slight kind of twist on it by having the eyes just slightly off just changed the dynamic a bit, and it was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So good job to Jonathan Demme on that one. He also did one of my other favourite films. He directed Philadelphia, which is a fucking cracker.
I've never seen Philadelphia.
No, good cheese. Good cheese.
I'll need to check out.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense to me, the good cheese thing. I might have glossed over it in my younger years.
Oh, I'm really sore, by the way. I'm so sore.
Wee bit off topic there, eh?
Just a bit. I just noticed my neck starting to stiffen up. I did weights yesterday for the first time in fucking God knows how long.
Oh, you did weights, Alexander! Alexander did some weights.
Yes, I did some weights, and I'm sore today. I had to get a guy at my work to help me put this shirt on when I finished.
God,
just so you know, I'm wearing a shirt over a t-shirt. Right, I was kind of wearing it like a jacket today, so
I
tried to put it on. I couldn't get the collar up. Just
because of your weights.
I'm just like,
so how long were you waiting then? These weights, how long were you waiting?
Not that long, actually. Probably only about half an hour or something I was doing them, but it was enough to knock me for six. Felt good, though. Felt good. So, out of five, Kevin, what would you give Silence of the Lambs?
I gave Silence of the Lamb not one star, not two, not three, not four, but five stars.
Yes, and why did you give it five stars? Was it because it was extremely well acted, well directed, well written, and just all-round quality?
It was all-round fucking smashing! exactly what you said. It's a recipe for a great stir fry. Not too much of this, not too much of that, but all together, when you put all the right ingredients in a good movie and a good stir fry, right, it tastes fucking great, mate. Right, and that's exactly what this was. Stop laughing, what are you laughing at?
That was an analogy and a half.
But it worked, though. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so exactly what it was. It, and I think for the time as well, it would have been a bit new. You know, not so many movies out there would have been like that at that time. Or so I can imagine, hence me not being alive for another 2 months. But and even then, I probably wouldn't have been able to understand the fucking word said in it because I was only like, nothing. but yeah, it was clever. It was clever. It was classy in the sense that it was gory, but classy gory. You see what I mean? Everything had a point. There wasn't just random, let's cut this cunt's head off for no reason. Let's cut this person's head off for no absolute reason. You know, it was just, it was classy in every detail that it had. And for me, that's why it got 5 stars.
Yeah, I liked how like a lot of it was more suggested than shown as well. Like it was the bit where the coroner peels back the body bag, and everybody's reaction, you just know they're looking at something fucking horrific, but yet you don't get to see it really. But it's like, what I imagine is like when he peels back the body bag, because of their reaction, I just imagine that like that their skin was like pizza cheese and kind of stuck to the bag and that kind of stuff. So, I loved the kind of subtle nuances of it as well. I'll definitely give it 5 stars as well. And yeah, never know, we'll maybe deep dive one of the sequels at some point.
He was just an average content viewer.
What can I say about Davey? He really didn't like to subscribe too much, you know?
He was a nice young boy. It's a shame about what happened to him, you know?
Until one tragic evening.
Put it this way, David would, he would, neglect the subscribe here buttons.
Yes, it was a quiet town until that tragic evening. Nothing like that ever happened round here.
We have it on great authority that young David was mutilated by a pamphlet containing the words subscribe here. It is not known exactly where this pamphlet came from at this present time, but police are looking into it.
Don't be like David. Subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast and avoid death.
I mean, well, as I can't, somebody, right, and he didn't subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast, and a chopstick fell in his eye.
Subscribe to the Jibber Jabber podcast. No.
I mean, you need to go and subscribe, like, because it's a curse, and if you didn't subscribe, it kills you.
Disclaimer, curse does not exist or kill you.
Well, I totally agree. 5 out of 5. There's no way we can give it 5 out of 5. Unless you give it 4 out of 5, in which some case someone has. And if you have, comment on the Jibber Jabber community and tell us why you didn't like it. That you gave it 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 star. Let us know. Jandor, anything in adding before we close this show down?
No, like I was saying a second ago, there's a chance we could possibly deep dive one of the sequels at some point as well. Or even Manhunter, since you've never seen it. That could be an idea. We could put that out in the poll as well. So it was nice. This is our second venture into Anthony Hopkins for the deep dives.
So it is, yeah, absolutely.
So aye, let's,
that'd be a good interview.
I know. He'd put me to sleep, man. His voice is beautiful. It really is.
Agreed.
Well, by the way, just a little observation. I noticed that Kev was drinking a nice wee whiskey there. This is the first time that Kev's had a drink on the podcast and I've not.
I suppose, eh?
Yeah.
I think every time you have a drink on the podcast, I've got more editing today, mate. Before we shut this show, just going to recap everything we've done over the last week. It was quite a big, busy week for us. We had the Neverending Story Cinema Takeover, where it was an absolute fucking blast. People came, everybody came, it was great. It was a success. Thank you to everybody that came. Without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do it, obviously. Without your support, we wouldn't be doing this show. And your support means fucking everything to us. I keep getting direct messages on just various things we've done. People requesting stuff. Appreciate that very much. And we will be doing more of what you guys want to see and what you guys want to hear. we also done a watch along. It was the night before the Neverending Story, where we watched the what was it called? The King of the Kickboxers. And it was fucking brutal. But we enjoyed it, and I was so happy to hear again. I got a lot of feedback on that. A lot of people actually went and watched it on Amazon Prime based on our reactions and just hearing the dodgy sound effects. We had a fucking blast doing that. If that's something you want to see more of, us doing a watch along, we can get a better setup and we could do it quite often. But you guys need to let us know, because it's work on our end and we're already doing two shows a week for y'all motherfuckers. So if you want more, you really got to reach out and tell us. But moving forward, we're always going to try new stuff. In the next coming weeks, there will be a few announcements to make, a few other projects coming up. Don't forget, we will be in Comic-Con next week on the 6th, not next week, it's the week after, on the 6th of April, which will be Saturday. We'll be out in Edinburgh Comic-Con. Go to Eventbrite, go to a ticket, wherever you buy tickets, just edinburghcomiccon.com. You'll have heard the ad in this, you'll have heard the ad in this episode. But Edinburgh Comic Con, buy your tickets, come along. If you're there, speak to us, come up to talk to us. We'd be happy to get an interview with you guys. If anybody's listening to this has shown up in cosplay, hit us motherfucking up. Bar that, we are on Spotify, YouTube, Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, really everywhere that you can find audio podcasts. You can get the audio for this on YouTube, obviously. Select episodes of our Jibber Jabber will be in video format. We're going to do more video stuff coming up soon, but you'll hear more on that in the future. So if you could like, subscribe, leave us reviews, fucking do all that cool shit, because the more you do for us, the more we can do for you. So on that note, Jordan, anything in adding?
Yep, just to say we will have another poll out for the next deep dive within the next couple of days as well. So get voting and get serious with it.
Absolutely.
Stop making me watch shite.
On that note, stop making him watch shite. Ta-ra now.
Cheery battles.